This is Whitley Strieber, and you've reached the edge of the world. Welcome to Dreamland. It's publication week for my new book, The Omega Point, and you can listen to me reading the first two chapters on unknowncountry.com. Just click on the fifth position in the free Windows Media Player that you're probably listening to right now. If you're a subscriber, you can download the reading from the subscriber section. So don't miss The Omega Point. You can get it in any bookstore. You can get it in any online bookstore. What happens after the end of time? Is there a plan for us? And I think so. You can also watch my YouTube video, go to my Facebook page, my Facebook Whitley Strieber Society page, and watch the YouTube video that's there to learn more about it. But above all, get The Omega Point. This week on Dreamland, we have Starfire Tor talking to us about two very incredible things. First, the Whale and Dolphin People Project. It's a very important idea of hers. Second, I had an extraordinary time slip a couple of days ago, and I think that it is possible to become conscious of ourselves moving in different timelines. Starfire tells us more about just how to do that. Then for our subscribers, there's something going on in the Gulf that is far beyond what we have understood so far. Starfire talks to us about it. What's the significance, if any, of the fact that the oil spill, the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon rig, took place on Hitler's birthday? Maybe there's no significance to it. We'll listen to Starfire Tor tell us what she thinks and what she has intuited with her research and her psi abilities about these things. As always, Starfire Tor has got some extraordinary things to talk about. One thing that you absolutely must listen up and must get involved in, and she'll tell you how in just a few minutes, is the... Well, tell us what the campaign is called, Starfire.
I've started a campaign called the Whale and Dolphin People Project, and it's a campaign to redesignate whales and dolphins as sentient, self-aware people, people of the sea. And if we can do that, then this is going to begin the total stoppage of the killing and abuse and consumption of whales and dolphins, because there is no organization that's going to be allowed to regulate the killing of people.
Well, you know,
there's a lot of science.
Tell us a little bit about what's happening right now with this, because I know that Japan is trying to get going with the killing of these beings again, and I know that they are doing things like bribing delegates from small countries to this conference with free sneakers and t-shirts and things.
Right. The International Whaling Commission, in my opinion, is this bogus, fraud-based international commission that regulates how many whales a country can harvest. And with Japan, the joke is, the sad joke is that the Japanese can harvest these whales under scientific arrangement, as if they just want the food, they just want the money, and that's what it's all about. They have a long time culture doing this, and they don't want people telling them what to do. But the point of fact is that Japan is not the only country doing this, but the International Whaling Commission right now is voting on whether or not to completely take away any limits to whaling.
Now, this commission, I know that there's been a big scientific outcry. There was a group of 200 scientists who said that the ban on commercial whaling must be maintained. Now, Japan, if I'm not correct, has said they'll leave the International Whaling Commission if the ban is maintained.
That is correct. This has always been a game of politics and money and culture, and not with just Japan, with other countries as well.
Iceland, I believe, does whaling, if I'm not correct. Norway, I know. Norway and Iceland do.
Right. Norway and Iceland and Greenland and Indonesia and Norway, Russia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and even the United States allows some of its, the Eskimos to kill whales. So, you know, if you redesignate whales and dolphins as people, and as I've said, there is actually scientific evidence proving that these creatures are self-aware. They are sentient beings, and we should be treating them with a people status. Not
okay,
that they're
now
going
we're
to vote.
We're going to repeat this many times over the course of this program. Tell us how to get involved.
Okay. I have begun a Facebook campaign and a page called the Whale and Dolphin People Project. And the only thing that I need people to do is come on over and just support the page. Click like to the page, and I want to get 1 million people from around the world supporting this page. It doesn't cost you a dime, and if you're not a member of Facebook, joining up is free. That's all you need to do, is come and support this, and we can really make this action happen. And one more thing I want to say, Whitley, is there are a number of wonderful, fantastic organizations who have been battling the slaughter of whales and dolphins for years. They do incredible jobs, but they've been hampered because whales and dolphins have always been designated as animals in the food chain. Once you redesignate as people, then all of the wonderful organizations, Jacques Cousteau and Sea Shepherd and everything in between, we'll be able to take the new law, the new rules, and really do something about it. That's what's going to be so great. I am unhampering the great organizations of the world who have been battling to save the whales and dolphins for years.
Well, folks, I joined the Whale and Dolphin People Project the second it went on Facebook, and I am proud to do so. I've been pushing it like heck on my Facebook page, my Twitter account. It's being pushed on unknowncountry.com. It's a very important project. She needs 1 million people. That's a lot in order to start to make a difference and be noticed. Why can't we do this? Why do we have to always live in a world full of, the Japanese never apologized for World War II. They killed millions and millions of people. Now they're still doing it. They have it in them. Look at companies like Toyota. Oh, my God, we need to resist this. We need to stand up and say to these people, you should join the human race. And the way to do it is to stop killing these beautiful, extraordinary, and as Starfire so eloquently puts it, self-aware creatures. So join the Whale and Dolphin People Project. This is no joke. It's not far-fetched. It is very real. Starfire, give us an idea of some of the science behind this.
Oh, the science behind it is absolutely beautiful. I think that the most stunning part is that scientists discovered as early as the mid-90s, going through the 2000s, up to absolutely today, that dolphins recognize themselves in mirrors. This is one of the standard ways that human beings test the self-awareness of animals. Now, dolphins and whales aren't the only ones who do this, but for the purposes of this particular campaign, those are the ones that I'm talking about. There are wonderful scientists whose names I'll talk about in later shows, I hope, who have discovered that the whale brain, by doing MRIs, is as complex as a human's. They believe that dolphins are, next to humans, the most intelligent creatures on the planet. So we can see by their brains and the folds in their brains that they think, they consider, they problem solve, they see themselves as individuals, and they recognize other dolphins and people as individuals. And we all know, of course, stories of the many dolphins who have saved the lives of humans, particularly from sharks. As a matter of fact, Whitley, in our Discovery and History Channel shows where we're talking about our Magic Castle time shift, one of the weird or what segments was about a whale who saved a man from a shark. So synchronicity there. So we really have to take a stand, step this up, use the scientific data, which is absolutely available, and let's take a look at these sea creatures as people. And just bringing it all home to you, Whitley, if we are ever as a planet going to be able to have realistic relationships with extraterrestrial life, we cannot be looking at them as, well, if they don't look like us, if they don't think like us, if they don't walk the land like us, then they don't have, you know, the same equality as us. So when you designate the dolphins and the whales as people, which it should have always been, then you can take that next step into genuine relationship disclosure with extraterrestrials. Because one day, we all know that there will come a time when they will step out of the shadows or step out of ancient history and say hello. So this is so important for us as a cultural planet, as a one whole Earth. And I think that even, let's say, extraterrestrials are looking upon us and watching what we do. If they were to even see us do this fantastic deed, perhaps that would give them hope into open contact. But that's just me theorizing. I don't know that for sure, of course.
Well, the thing that, in my opinion, that is important here is that learning to communicate with them, learning what they are, is a very, very good start on alien-human communication. Because believe you me, I've tried to communicate with the visitors, and it's not easy at all. It is a very, very large-scale challenge to do this. And I was never able to get more than a kind of a one-way communication in that they would communicate eloquently with me, but I couldn't find out anything about them, not even if they had names, where they were from, what they were, who they were. I couldn't really gain, except for one or two cases, a slight sense of individuality from them. And with whales and dolphins, at least they share the same planet that we do, and the same, they're elementally made up of the same elements that we are, so we have a chance. But, you know, we're absolutely nowhere when it comes to understanding them the way they understand themselves. And maybe one of the great benefits of your project would be that people would begin to recognize that, wait a minute, these are people of the sea. And that would be so valuable. Now, tell us again, and I said I would ask this a number of times, how to get involved.
All people need to do is come to Facebook, come to my page on Facebook, and you will find the Whale and Dolphin People Project. All you need to do is sign up on the page. Just click like on the page and you become an instant part of that page. It doesn't cost you any money. I'm not soliciting money. All I want is at least 1 million people to sign up on this page to support this effort to redesignate whales and dolphins as people. People of the sea, sea folk. Humans are land folk, and dolphins and whales are sea folk, and that will be the most incredible joint planetary evolution in human enlightenment that I think has happened in a very long time. Folks, please, let's do this together. We can spread the word and come to Facebook. We can make this happen.
And if you go to you just simply search on Starfire Tour, and you will get to her Facebook page, and you can also do that at Starfire's fan page. Like me, Starfire is just about out in terms of room on her personal Facebook page. But
that's
you,
right.
You can still go through her fan page very easily. And
right.
So
right.
She's a popular lady, that's for sure. And, okay, Starfire, I would like to thank you for what you're doing here. I think it's absolutely marvelous. And it is something that we should have thought of, or someone should have thought of, a very long time ago, and we never did. Because, of course, the big media, they're going to be snickering away, ah, ha, ha, they're not people. Well, maybe human consciousness is going beyond this grinding, terrible machine that we call a civilization that is so dangerous to human life, and I mean all human life, including the life of people who live in the sea. So let's do it. Just go to Starfire Tour's Facebook page. If you're not in Facebook, join. It takes 2 minutes, and it's absolutely free. It's easy to keep yourself very private on Facebook. They make it very easy for you, despite what they say in the media, because, of course, the media is in competition with Facebook, so don't forget that. It's a people place, and you can join, and do join. And let's get this going. Tell all of your friends to join. And she will very quickly have something enormous, and it will matter. And it will matter immensely, because it will do this, if nothing else. It will plant the idea that we don't have to look at them in the old way. We can look at them with the emerging new human consciousness. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes with Starfire Tour. We're going to talk about a time slip, and then we're going to get into the oil spill. We'll be right back. This is Whitley Strieber. It's Dreamland. We're talking to Starfire Tour today. And Starfire, oddly enough, and maybe it's not so odd, yesterday morning I opened the Los Angeles Times, where I have had so many odd time slip experiences, all of which I consider your fault. I guess I never noticed them before you and I started talking about them. I had a really big one. The Monday, June the 21st, LA Times health section, I had read before. The illustration of great big blue or turquoise bacterium on the cover with on the front page with a measuring tape around its waist. The words, the articles, everything. I had read it all. I had held this paper in my hand somewhere else, some time else. Now, the question I have is this. Do timeline, obviously I had it in another timeline. It didn't feel exactly like deja vu, but do timelines, they don't unfold all at the same time, do they? And as we move between timelines, do we somehow know our future? How is it all working exactly?
Okay, well,
I know the question's a little vague, and excuse me for that. I guess let me first ask you: do timelines unfold all in the same? Is the present always the same in all timelines?
No, that's why I call it a time shift. Just to be very clear, all multiple timelines, or what I call coexisting timelines, exist in the same space, separated by frequencies. So I don't want people to think of them as running parallel, because that is sort of the original way that that science fiction and quantum physicists were talking about it. But my research has narrowed that down to an actuality of how it works. So when we have these coexisting timelines, our consciousness, through our interface with the brain and the core matrix, creates dominant timelines through our consciousness. And we all are in the same dominant timeline at the same time. But when we shift from one coexisting timeline to another, generally because there has been a time shift, in other words, the timeline has been altered, then that creates a smack brand new coexisting timeline, which then becomes the dominant timeline. But you could move into a new coexisting timeline that is, for all intents and purposes, 2 days back, 4 days forward, 2 seconds back, 2 seconds forward. This is how you would happen to be looking at something in the newspaper that might even turn out to be precognitive. For example, let's say what you were looking out at was an event, some tragic event that you were reading about that had already happened. Then you have a time shift, and now that event has not happened again. You now have pre-knowledge, it's called precog knowledge, of an event that might be occurring. Do you remember everything you read? Do you remember the details? Maybe. There's something that can be done to prevent a disaster. That's the ultimate of how I use it. But for what happened to you reading the Times, this is just more proof that you personally have developed an awareness, a consciousness of multiple coexisting timelines at the same time. And what this means is that you have a memory of reading something in the paper that now no longer exists in the current dominant timeline, but it existed in whatever that dominant timeline was when you were reading it originally on that June 21st. So this is what I always want people to achieve, because having a memory of multiple timelines is A, what makes you aware that what I have discovered is an actuality and not a theory. And it also makes you very, very aware that we live in a free-flowing environment that is not stable. Things change, which means that destiny is not fixed. So when it comes to your individual experiences, Whitley, and you continue to have them with this paper. So, you know, if I were to make in just a study of Whitley Strieber's time slip experiences, I am sure we could find a very good synchronous reason as to why your brain is focusing on this particular method of telling you, hey, a time shift has just happened. And perhaps one day we will do that, Whitley. We'll just have to look over all of your experiences and try to find out why. I believe in finding out.
I agree. And let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What if something terrible happens to everybody in a single timeline? For example, in this timeline, if the oil spill becomes an oil volcano and it destroys the oceans and therefore also the world, can we move, or are we going to be stuck here?
You're not stuck. That's one of the, on one hand, a very hopeful thing about my research, and on the other hand, a very ominous thing about my research. Human beings do not control the core matrix. Remember, I used to call it the Matrix until that movie, The Matrix, came out, so I changed it to the core matrix. We don't control it. Human beings can create their own reality shifting within a dominant timeline, but as far as triggering a time shift, which is the edit of a timeline, humans are not in charge. Therefore, if something should happen to a timeline, like what's going on with BP or a comet strike, we will rise again in a coexisting timeline, but we will still have those scars. We will still have those scars. And every time we recover from some sort of catastrophic disaster, we're not better for it. Until we remember what happened, so that the old saying, those who remember the past will not repeat it, but those who do not are doomed to repeat it. It's the same thing with coexisting timelines. I mean, as I spoke about precog abilities, I precog disasters all the time, and most every one that I've ever reported publicly has come to pass. What does that mean? Well, I've also seen things like nuclear explosions. I've seen comet strikes, meteor strikes. I've seen the world knocked out on a number of times, but here we are. So I'm thinking that the more people like you and others that I know who maintain a multiple timeline awareness have the best chance of getting together and figuring out what's really going on all these timelines and what can we do to pull out, to edit the best of the timelines to help ourselves, not continue making all the mistakes that we do. I'm looking for some semblance of control, Whitley, not just the knowledge, but control.
Well, exactly. Like, for example, when I picked up the newspaper, it felt like I had read it the day before. It felt exactly like that, but I hadn't. I couldn't have because I was just opening it for the first time. And I remembered everything. I even told myself about ads that were in it, in that. And as I opened it, there they were. It was exactly as I remember it. Remembered
That's right.
It. And I had read it before at some point, but not here.
You had read it before. You had already read it in a coexisting timeline. And a time shift had occurred, and this is how we know a time shift occurred, because people experience these multiple timeline dual memories. This is how we know. This is one of the factors that tell us, a symptom that tells us a major time shift. The editing of the timeline has occurred, which means that something or some things in the world have been altered. Events have been altered. So you did, Whitley. You did read that paper, and then the time shift occurs, and now we are on a reset, and you find yourself rereading the day all over again. That's how it happens, and that's where Precog comes from. And by the way, that very much so is where most deja vu comes from, right there. It's when people don't quite have a clear memory of more than one timeline, and they just have a little inkling, something niggling them. Haven't I done this before? Haven't we had this conversation before? You know, I don't remember dreaming that. So there you have it. So you've gone that one step beyond deja vu, Whitley, and it's great. I love it.
Well, I just hope to keep going. You know, there's a very interesting article by a man named, a physicist called Paul Halpern, called The Garden of Forking Paths, named after the George Luis Borges story, Time as an Expanding Labyrinth. And he's saying in scientific terms exactly what you're saying, and that's exactly what we live in. We live in an expanding labyrinth of reality. And somehow or another, it seems to me possible, and I think your work says it is possible, that we can fill this labyrinth with this. In other words, the consciousness is separated, going down each path, but to some extent we can expand consciousness so that it crosses the paths, and that to me is a really, really interesting prospect. I think it's in getting a little bit better at it, just by knowing that it's really true, that it's there.
It's there.
Fascinating. Well, Starfire, let's just, before we conclude Dreamland, and we're going to go on in the subscriber section, we're going to talk about the oil spill, and we're going to talk about a secret submarine, and in general, ask a question. Why haven't some of the very, very technologically sophisticated devices that we possess been deployed? What is it about this oil spill that makes it, there's a sort of numbness in Washington? The president talks the talk, but there doesn't seem to be any walking the walk going on. It keeps being left up to the people who made the mistake. It's almost as if saying, well, okay, you set the fire, you put it out, and we're going to leave the fire department at home. What? That doesn't make much sense. But before we go, let's just once again talk a little bit about the Whale and Dolphin People Project. Tell us again a little bit about what it is, and I hope I'm not boring you folks. It's very, very important. That's why I want you to do this. Tell us again.
Thank you. The Whale and Dolphin People Project, you can find it either by going to Facebook and finding my fan page, Starfire Tour, on Facebook, or my website, starfiretour.com, where you can find the link. Just join Facebook if you're not a member. Come to the Whale and Dolphin People Project and click like. That means you join and support. It does not cost a dime. All you need to do is bring your support and awareness to it, and this will be a giant evolutionary and enlightenment leap for mankind, because if we can redesignate the whales and dolphins as people, which so many scientists believe they are, and there's scientific proof to that effect, then we can actually use this redesignation as people to stop the killing and maiming and consumption of whales and dolphins and porpoises. Thank you, Whitley, for your wonderful leading support. I so appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad, Starfire, because my motive is always the same. I want to raise the visitor's consciousness of mankind, because we see ourselves as being important, but unfortunately they live in a universe where we are just one on a very, very long list of maybe species that might or might not go somewhere and do something worthwhile. And I want us to be higher on that list. I want us to be high enough on that list to where we don't get these, they care enough about us not to let the negative ones in to feed off of us. And right now we're not in that position. And if we were to begin to really take a serious look at the truth about the sentient species on this planet and the truth about animal consciousness in general, it would help a lot. All it takes is will, recognition of the truth, and a little humility to let these other creatures and other sentient creatures on Earth have the space that God gave them and not take it from them as we are doing. So, Starfire Tour, thank you very much for being with us on Dreamland. And folks, if you're a subscriber, get set to talk about the oil spill in a whole new way. It's a game changer. We'll be seeing you again next week on Dreamland. Subscribers, go right on down to the subscriber interview with Starfire.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and our family of subscribers. Our news editor is Ann Streber. Our science reporter is Linda Moulton Howe. Our webmaster is Daniel Stiegel. And I'm your Dreamland announcer, Brian Arnold. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.